Okay, we're still studying Passover. We're studying the things that happened on Passover to the known world around them. So, where are we? It says the last time it was we were in this Jericho, the well-locked city was given up to the Israelites in the time of Passover. Midian was destroyed by a barley cake from the Omer of Passover. And the fat folk of Pul and Lud were burnt up in the blaze of fire on a Passover. So the only time that Pul and Lud are mentioned in the Bible is in Isaiah. Isaiah 66. And I was going to, and I forgot to look at them in the Talmud, and I couldn't find them. So, I mean, I didn't find them. So I didn't look hard enough. Isaiah 66. Let's look at, but this is a good one. We'll start in verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man, or this one, will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox as if he slew a man, he that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck, he that offereth oblation as if he offered swine's blood, and he that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. Now each one of those animals, sacrifice the lamb, an ox, or any sacrifice, it's as if he did all those things. Cut off a dog, killeth an ox as if he slew a man, sacrifice the lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. That's kind of big, because it condemns everything they're doing in their temple. Why?
Done out of their own strength, their own inclination.
No, they don't see Jesus. Every aspect of the offerings and every sacrifice was a revelation of Jesus Christ. They just see it as something to, you know, something that some book told them to do, then they've missed the mystery. It's the same as, I mean, today, except Jesus till hell freezes over, and if you're still out living as a Gentile and thinking as a Gentile, it's meaningless. Understand?
Ritual as opposed to reality.
Yeah, the whole of the Bible is about this mystery of man's need to find a truth. Abraham was the first man to find that. Something that doesn't denigrate or change with time, place, or circumstance. And therefore, he ascribed that and understood. There could then be only one God. Remember what he did. There were 500 idols in the temple in Nineveh. When he saw this, he took an axe handle, busted every idol, and then put the axe handle in the bull's arms and he was to be the next king of Nineveh. Which idols are you still worshiping? That's what Passover's preseason is about. What are you giving breath to in time and space? Your family, your work? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And that's the whole message of Passover. All right. We're still in. In verse 4, I will, Isaiah 66, I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. And when I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighteth not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, Let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall you suck and shall be borne upon her sides and be dangled upon her knees. Dandled. I never heard of dandled. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Now, they're not talking about the Jerusalem. He's not talking about the Jerusalem, the little piece of flesh, of land over in the Middle East, which was always only a parable of the New Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all. Yeah. The New Jerusalem, our mother, God is our only father, because we've been born from above. What are you doing, Gary?
Just figuring things out.
Like what? All right. Verse 13. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like a herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword shall the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh, and the abomination of the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. For I know their works and their thoughts, and it shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory, And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, and draw the bow to Tubal and to Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots and in litters, and upon mules and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel unto the house of the Lord. And I will take also of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. And they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Now, where it says the new heavens and the new, where is it? The new heavens and the new earth in verse 22. The new is the same word. It's not new in time. It's that word kairos, which it says we are a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And it's something never heard before. It's astounding. Both the new heavens and the new earth, the new in both places, and you as a new creature, are all that same word, kairos. And it's astounding that you're dead. A new type, a new being is your life now that has never existed, you know, that the man can't see, can't understand, can't even come near.
This word kairos is
for new.
The word new, okay. Well,
but the full point of it is, it's saying that that will be done on the Feast of Passover. So, that Pul and Lud will be, whatever it said, for by fire by a sword will the Lord plead with all flesh. All right. Let's go to Daniel 5.
I have one thing in 19, the last half, where it talks about that they have not heard my fame, neither seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles.
Right.
It's like, this is a parable. If somebody sees a new movie, they go and they declare the glory of the movie, and it's wonderful, and holy, which is a small type of seeing God for the first time. And they run off to declare his glory and magnificence.
And you can't see him and live.
And those who haven't heard.
That's why it says, as you go into your world, make disciples. Daniel 5. Belshazzar, verse 1, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. And in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. Then the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts be troubled thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpretation of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar." "Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." Anyway, Daniel is summoned. Well, we can read the rest of it later. This is when Daniel is telling what's going on. In verse 22, he talked about what happened with Nebuchadnezzar, and now he said, "And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knowest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and of gold and of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and his writing was written. And this is the writing that was written: Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the king: Mene, as God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it; Tekel, thou art weighed in the balance and art found wanting; and Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians." Even though it was bad news to him, then the king commanded, they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made him proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. That happened, and that's what it says. The palm of a hand wrote to destroy Belshazzar's deep-founded city on Passover. And you shall say a feast of Passover.
That's a spooky one.
But it's more in Hebrew. It says, "You have been weighed in the balance and found eternally lacking." And that's what God has said to each one of us. You have been weighed in the balance and found eternally lacking. Why? Because your identity, your name, is the chief of sinners. You are the instead of Christ. Who could think that? Who could, they'll kill you and think they're doing God a favor if they make this broad, a broad. Not make it a broad, but make it noisy broad. Because all the broads are Antichrist too. So even all the good people, even all the nice people, all of us, I included myself among the nice people, if you noticed. Did I get an amen?
No.
No
amen.
No amen. All right. That's a good place to quit. We've got one more group here that we'll do. And you shall say a feast of Passover. Now I hope that going through all these, when we get to that place, and you shall say a feast of Passover in the Haggadah, then you're able to expound on it. Okay.
Well, one of your predicates was Passover destruction, and how.
Now, my predicate is what it
says. You spoke and I heard it, and destruction is key. And when we study Josiah's great Passover, the preparation for that Passover was nothing but destruction.
Destruction of all the high places.
Yeah. And I could sense it this morning that, without that, there is no good Passover. There's no seeing, there's no understanding. You might have a party, but there's no Passover.
Take that to heart. You can't, it's impossible for you to have a good thought. Because nothing good can come from the evil one. As I've said many times, the only thing that the evil one has been commissioned to see is, oh my God, this is a joke. That's the one act of, the one act, bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. And that's not what you've done your whole life. Because a thousand times you have been wearied in the greatness of your way. But you say of not, there is no hope. You found the life of your own hand again, therefore you're not grieved. Doesn't matter whether that's in the name of Jesus or in the name of Bruce. If you use this thing to gain life for your own hand, then it says you'll be destroyed on the Feast of Passover.
Delightfully so.
Hmm?
Delightfully so.
All right.
Now, I was also thinking about the ritual, just because steeped in it, I was doing all the writing. But the ritual deadens any chance that you would hear anything new because you're doing the ritual. And the things that are the most important, they make kid games out of. And of course, that includes me and all of us, where you just walk through it instead of thinking about it. So I really appreciate going through that it came to pass at midnight, and you shall say a feast of Passover, because those are the things that need to be said. It's, the explanation, not just the wandering through the text.
Yeah.
Is that a
kudo? No, I don't think so.
All right, take a big guy.